Gilligan. I'm your host, Benjamin Levesay, and for the next hour or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, if that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 18th episode of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos, and I'm broadcasting live from my home here in Harrisburg, South Dakota. Before we get to the show today, I wanted to thank all of the Fiber Hooligan listeners who sent me such warm messages about last week's show. It was a hard show, but I'm so glad that so many of you found the courage and hope in it. I know I did. I also want to announce, as a follow-up, that because of last week's show, we are starting our very first knit-along for Chelsea's shawl. The shawl was designed by Stephen West and brought to us by the great folks at Dream in Color. A good portion of the proceeds from this kit will go to Chelsea's Light Foundation. So you can not only get a kit for a beautiful shawl, you can make a difference. You can find out more about Chelsea's shawl and how to get in on the knit-along on our Fiber Hooligans Facebook group or our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group. And I hope you'll consider joining us for the first knit-along for Fiber Hooligans. Okay, my guest today is a dear friend of mine. She is the founder of Halos of Hope. Her inspiring story of beating stage 3 breast cancer, 9 years now in fact, then turning that experience into advocacy through Halos of Hope always touches my heart. For those of you who don't know about Halos of Hope, please let me give you a little background. Since they were incorporated as a 501c3 in 2008, they have sent out more than 90,000 hats. They now send out more than 3,000 knit and crochet hats to over 450 cancer centers across America each month. This is a testament not only to the founder and the organization, but also the people of our craft and our industry. She is one of the best people I know. I've said it many times before that she's my hero, and I mean it. I'm speaking, of course, of the lovely and gracious Pamela Haschke. Pam joins us from Arlington Heights, Illinois this morning. Good morning, Pam, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Benjamin. How are you?
Oh, you know, it's always a good day when I get to talk to you. I wish I could tell our listeners that you and I don't talk often, but we do talk often, and yet still it's not often enough.
I would agree. Of course,
so,
you know, I was going to say, we're going to have to stop meeting like this. Our respective spouses will talk, and who knows, they just might later on this week at Stitches.
Yes, that's right. Our respective spouses are going to be in the same room and saying... So they'll be in the corner saying, so what's the deal with this, too? You know? Yeah. This is how rumors get started, if I will again say, don't be a rumor spreader. So how's your Monday morning going so far?
Well, you know, it's just another manic Monday, but this is going to be a good week. I'm really looking forward to spending some time with the Stitches Midwest folks again. As you know, this is... our kind of what we call our home show, and the team has been working really hard to hopefully make it a great weekend.
Well, and you're taking some classes.
I'm so excited. Have I told you guys 100 times that I've been taking a class?
No. It's okay, this is a big deal, and I'd like to break this down a little bit. Pam comes to these shows, and she sits in the booth, and the market's great. Don't get me wrong, folks. The market's great.
Oh, I love the market,
Our educational track is really awesome, and so they don't get the chance oftentimes to take a class. And so what are you taking this time?
I'm taking a log cabin scarf weaving class on the rigid heddle loom, and I'm sure I just botched that something fierce. But basically, I'm taking a weaving class.
That's great. That's great. Well, you know I love weaving.
Yes, I know you do. And I've never done it before, so I just thought, what a delightful thing to like step totally out of my comfort zone and learn something totally new since the booth is covered and I actually get to take a class. So excited.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing that it's possible that Nathania infected you with this need to learn to weave.
Weave and spin. She said, I'm incomplete without them.
We're going to make you a well-rounded Fiber Hooligan. That's what we're going to do.
Exactly.
I wanted to thank you for your help in promoting last week's show, Pam. I really do appreciate it. You put it on your own Facebook page. You tweeted about it. You put it on the Hills of Hope. It was a tough show, and I really do appreciate the help. And I also understand that you're going to be joining our knit along.
I am, and I have to say this, on behalf of the many, many women who have been victimized and the mothers of daughters and sons both, because we need to teach both our daughters and our sons how to be respectful and how to treat situations like this. I want to thank you for being absolutely brave enough to share Chelsea's story last week. I was one of the guests, I guess, very fortunate folks that got the shawl kit at TNNA Sample It, and I'm looking forward to making the shawl and being part of the knit along. But I think even more than that, I'm looking forward to meeting Chelsea's parents this weekend at Stitches. That had to be one of the hardest stories to listen to, at least for me personally. So I know it was a very hard story to tell, but I'm really, really glad you told it.
Well, thanks. I really do appreciate that. And folks, I can't tell you enough about Pam. Anytime that there's anything that needs to be done or any helping hand, it's not always about Halos of Hope for her. She's always there for everybody that needs her. Okay, enough about that. Let's get to you today. Let's tell your story. I've told your story before in little bits and pieces, but I think it's always good for people to hear it from you. Tell us your personal journey and how that developed into Halos of Hope, please.
Okay, thanks. So in 2004, I was diagnosed with a stage 3 form of breast cancer. It's called inflammatory breast cancer. And I know you are aware, but for your listeners, I mean, I'm a pretty healthy individual, and I do all the right things. I do my self-exams, and I go to the doctor as I'm supposed to. And in fact, I had been to the doctor, I think it was probably January or February of 2004, and received a clean bill of health. And along about May of that year, I noticed something was wrong and went in to meet with my physicians. And, you know, they said, well, this kind of looks like an infection. For women, that's called a mastitis of the breast. But they said, you're kind of beyond the age you're supposed to get mastitis. So we'll treat it as if it's an infection and we'll go from there and see if it goes away. And it didn't. And so we did a biopsy, and that was in early part of June, and about mid-June. Well, in fact, I mean, I know the day. It was June 22nd, 2004. You just, as a cancer survivor, you just don't forget. They told me I had inflammatory breast cancer and said, you know what, Mrs. Hashke, we're going to do everything we can to help you beat this cancer. But what you need to know is that it's a very, at that time they called it rare, but it's just a very aggressive form of the disease. And the survival rates in 2004 were less than 30%. They said that's the big thing that we have to share with you, is that you will, you know, you have a less than 30% chance to make it 5 years or longer. But we're going to do everything we can. And from June of 2004 to March of 2005, I went through chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation. And in March of 2005, was determined to have what they call no evidence of disease. I will be honest, from a cancer perspective, I don't get to hear the words "you're cured." My cancer is deemed to be highly metastatic. It can come back at any time. Each five-year milestone that we make, that percentage diminishes. But as my oncologist puts it, everything that happens to me is seen through a cancer lens. And so that little twinge of pain that I get occasionally in my lower back, or, you know, the headaches that may not go away, they may be nothing for me. They may just be headaches and aging and osteoporosis and all the stuff that, you know, people go through normally. But I then go through a scan or a test to make absolutely sure that the cancer isn't back. And that, for those people who are cancer survivors, you know, everybody, all of us get to see our oncologists on a regular basis as follow-ups, but for me, you know, it's any little thing, any little test becomes kind of a hold your breath, is it back? Kind of a moment until you actually get the all clear in terms of the tests. So as I was going through my cancer journey, and we called it you and I talk all the time, and you know my husband's a runner, so we always call it the triathlon of treatment. And that's the way we broke it down. As I was going through it, it was like, okay, you're training for the chemotherapy. That's the first leg of the triathlon. Now you're training for your surgery. That's the second leg. And you're training for the radiation. That was the third leg of the journey. So as I was going through that 9 months of triathlon of treatment, all of the hats that I received were given to me by someone who had made them. So I come from a family of knitters, crocheters, people who sew. And they made hats in order to comfort me because I had lost my hair. Or if the friend or family member didn't make the hats personally, they engaged with someone who did. So everything I wore was handmade. And coming out of the treatment in 2005, I knew, absolutely knew, that if I were to survive the cancer and all the treatment, that I would have to give back. That was who I became on the other side of the cancer journey. And in 2006, I was invited to the inaugural Live Strong Summit in Austin, Texas. And people with various forms of cancer were asked as part of our participation to come up with an idea to give back to our communities. And my idea was, well, I know people who knit and crochet and sew, so why don't we start making hats for people at our hospitals in the north and northwest suburbs? And basically we'll rally like-minded knitters, crocheters, and people who sew together, and we'll deliver the hats to the various cancer centers in and around Arlington Heights where I live. And that didn't last very long, because we were asked by more and more hospitals and cancer centers and oncology offices throughout the state of Illinois, and then into our neighboring states of Iowa and Michigan and Indiana, to find ways to help people who needed hats. And the premise is very simple. We've talked about this before. A volunteer will handcraft a hat and donate it to Halos of Hope. We, in turn, give it to a hospital, cancer center, or oncology office, and they, in turn, give it to the patient for free. So it is truly selfless service that starts with the person who makes the hat, that comes to our charity for distribution of the hat, that goes to the hospital or cancer center that needs the hat to get to the head of a patient who is comforted by the hat. And in about 2007, we realized what we were doing was getting pretty big, and so we formed our original board of directors. We incorporated and we achieved our 501c3 not-for-profit status, and since then, that trajectory of growth has just been amazing to where, as you mentioned in your opening comments, we're sending roughly 3,000 hats a month to 450 cancer centers across the country.
That's a lot of work, and I know that you do a great deal of it by hand yourself. And I want to make the point here, too, folks, that Halos of Hope is truly a nonprofit, that Pam has a day job. And
not just a little day job.
No, she has a big, high-powered executive, and she works ungodly hours. She really does, but she still manages to make the time to do the communications and to send as many thank you letters as she can and collect the hats and ship them out. And she doesn't take a dime out of it. In fact, we're going to talk about money a little later on. Before we get to that, I wanted to talk, because I want to put a personal face on this. Now, we've talked about it many times. Pam, you lost your hair.
Yes, I did.
And I know it did. I know it didn't. I know you didn't think it was going to be a big deal, and you were wrong.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, first of all, and different people experience this much different in many different ways. I can only speak to what I went through, But honestly, I faced the fact that, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I'm like, you don't understand. No, I got a lot of life still here to live. You're telling me I might not make it, and, I could be gone in 5 years? Oh, no. That's not going to happen. Now, my dear husband will tell you that's the stubborn side of me, and he's probably absolutely right. And as a manager in my normal life, I just was not going to manage. It was like, no, you are not managing me out. So I approached the whole cancer diagnosis with, no, we've got to get through this, and we've got to get through this in such a way that I live still for a very long time. And so losing my hair, when they said, you're going to lose your hair, I'm like, yeah, okay, it's hair. It grows back. It's not, if I have to lose my hair temporarily in order to, gain my life, okay, I'm okay with that. But it was interesting because I had read things prior to losing my hair that, you want to be sure you cut your hair very, very short before it starts to fall out. And it typically starts to fall out after your second week of treatment. So you make it through, your second treatment. So you have your first treatment, and then 2 or 3 weeks later, you have another treatment. And so it's after that second treatment, or about a month, say, into your chemotherapy, that your hair starts to fall out. And so, they said, cut your hair really short, because that way, as it starts to fall out and you run your fingers through your hair, you don't get these big old clumps of hair in your hands, which could be frightening enough. And so I followed that advice, and I, did go in and have my hair cut fairly short. But what I wasn't expecting was this sensation across my scalp of tingling and little pinpricks where the follicles themselves almost hurt, as if you had like somebody sticking little pins into your head. I've heard other women say, remember when you were a little girl and you had long hair and your mom pulled your hair into a ponytail and she pulled it too tight and you were like, Mom, that hurts. It's that same kind of, the scalp has a sensation, at least it did for me, of it being very, very uncomfortable. And that was a little frightening, because I was not expecting that at all. I was expecting the hair to fall out but not that I would have a kind of a pain or a discomfort associated with losing the hair. And then once you're kind of bald, your head gets really cold. I never then experienced anything else that was uncomfortable or painful. In terms of what, how my head felt. I have heard that other women say that kind of discomfort persists for them ongoing. At that point, then, I was just hoping beyond hope that I looked good as a bald person and didn't have, disgusting marks on my head or something that I couldn't cover with a hat or a wig.
Well, that's the other point of this, is that beyond the physical discomfort and beyond the fear, now you walk out into the world without any hair, and there's a big old sign on you: I'm sick.
Yep, exactly. And it's interesting, because man, woman, teen, child, I think a man, not being a man, and so I don't want to speak for them. So all the men out there who are listening, I'm sorry. I'm trying not to. I think though that from a social moray perspective, we collectively look at a bald man and say, he may choose that hairstyle, right? He may choose to look like that. With a woman, or a teenager especially, and a child, we don't look normal without hair. And so people make an assumption very, very quickly that you are sick. And wigs can hide some of that. I think if you get a very good wig that is, cut to your personal style, is, very close to what you may have looked like when you had, with the normal hairstyle you had, people are going to maybe pause and say, okay, the hair looks maybe not quite as natural as it should, but I'm not going to make an assumption. But you're wearing a hat or a scarf over a bald head, and people know. They know that, they assume that you are ill, And as a woman going through that, it, you know, you got this big old sign in front of you saying, yep, I have cancer. From a Halos of Hope perspective, you know, we know that that's really, really hard for a teenager or a child. And you know, you were with us when we were in Atlanta earlier this year and saw some of those children that that were at Scottish or at Eggleston and at the Atlanta Center there. You know, it's the spirit is there, but they just, there's a lens, right, that somebody looks through and says that person is not a healthy person, and it's hard. You know, it's hard to live with that stigma. And you have to be very confident in order to go out and say, you know what? Yeah, I have cancer, but I'm going to be okay. I'm going to beat this. And there are a lot of people that don't have that strength, or worse yet, they don't have the support structure to give them that strength. I was very fortunate. I had an incredible support structure. But throughout the last 9 years, I can't tell you the number of women and teens and children that I've heard from, or that the charity that has heard from, where they just don't have that support structure. They don't have the caring, loving arms to bear them through the journey.
So for our listeners out there, I want to just qualify a few things. Pam mentioned a little bit ago that at South, we did something in Atlanta, and that's true. We partnered with the folks from Elephants Remember Joplin and the Atlanta Knitting Guild, and we did a hat and toy outreach to two child cancer centers there. I also want to preface this by saying that throughout the conversation, I'll be talking about what we at Halos of Hope do, and the reason for that is that Pam gets irritated with me when I don't say we, and the reason for that is I am a board member of Halos of Hope, and so I wanted to make sure that everybody was clear about that. This is definitely an inside story for me, and for those of you who think that I'm doing the show and I'm biased, the answer is absolutely I am. Get over it. All right. So you also talked a little about kids.
Yes.
It's the kids that I think really rough the two of us up the most dealing
yes.
with that. But there's some good stuff in there too. I think a prime example of the work that we do at Halos of Hope has to do, well, with Camp Happy Times. And
yeah.
I'd like you to tell our listeners, if you could, about Camp Happy Times and about the last year with Camp Happy Times.
Would love to do it. Camp Happy Times is actually an interesting story, because the way Halos of Hope got involved with Camp Happy Times is through that wonderful social network we all call Ravelry. And I'm pretty sure most of your listeners are on Ravelry, but we still run into people who aren't on it. So if you're not on Ravelry, be on Ravelry, because it's just an amazing social network and resource for all of us in the fiber community. And God bless those folks for starting it up. We actually heard from Robin, who had posted into one of the charity knitting threads on Ravelry, that she had this like really quirky ask, and she said, "I don't even know if I should be bringing this to Ravelry. I'm not even sure I'm in the right place. But here's the thing: I'm part of this organization as kind of a coordinator for Camp Happy Times. And what Camp Happy Times is is a summer camp. It's held up, I believe, in the mountains of Pennsylvania, but basically in the northeast section of the country. And it is sponsored by a group called the Valerie Fund. And they take kids that are either currently going through cancer treatments or are survivors of cancer treatments into the mountains for a week. The children are aged 5 to 21, so they start with the little kids, and they allow these kids to go through camp. And some of the kids that are up in the older groups become camp counselors themselves for the little kids. And they allow these kids with cancer who have survived cancer, to spend a week together and talk about their experiences. And each year they pick a theme for the camp. And that very first year, they had said, we have about 200 to 300 campers that come through, and yes, we'd love to have hats for them that are just general hats to help keep the kids warm at night, because it has a tendency to get a little cool up in the mountains. And then we'll let them take the hats home for, you know, themselves as they're still going through their treatments or, you know, maybe for winter, whatever. But in that first year, which was now 3 years ago, they wanted medieval-themed hats. Jesters, you know, crowns, wizards, the big princess with the princess cone hats, you know, all medieval-themed hats. And she says, which I know is just going to be really tough to get, but that's what we're trying to get. And Ravelry community, can you help us? And we thought, well, that's kind of actually fun, right? Something different. And so we picked that up and said, yes, Halos of Hope is going to try to help. Don't know how much we'll do, but we're going to try to give you the best we can. And we put the word out to our volunteer base, both through, you know, through our Facebook page, through our Ravelry group, through our newsletter, and just said, guys, we know this is really going to be quirky, but the 200 to 300 hats that we're going to need that just are the general hats, we're pretty sure all of you will be kind enough to help us get hats for these kits. You know, make a simple hat. We know we'll get those. We have this quirky little ask, which is medieval-themed hats. And our, you know, we gave them some pattern suggestions that we had found, and our group came through that very first year, and I think we got 300, I know we got about 350 or so regular hats, and like 325 crowns and jesters and cones and wizards, and oh my, it was just amazing. So the next year, the Camp Happy Times folks came on back and they said, hey, you know, we want to do, will you help us again? We said, yeah, what's your theme? And it was their 30th anniversary of providing the camp for the kids. And so we said, great, we'll do birthday, right? And so, again, we did cupcakes and we did cake hats and we did hats that looked like layered frosting. And once again, we came through with, you know, the right amount of regular hats and probably about 347 birthday-themed hats. And our volunteers this, you know, year over year keep going, can you tell us when the theme is a little sooner so we can get started because we really want to help? And we had volunteers. The camp, we, by the way, is in August of every year. In fact, it's coming up, I believe, the same weekend that we are all at Stitches. So it's coming up here next week. But we kind of chuckled because they said, we really want to get started sooner. And so we reached out to the Camp Happy Times folks this year and we said, okay, give us the theme sooner because our guys want to, our volunteers want to get started sooner. So we knew the theme in January, and their theme this year was stars because they're going to do a lot of stargazing with the kids, astronomy and whatnot, and teach them all about the night skies. And so we announced the theme early. And honestly, until about 3 weeks ago, we thought we were going to be short this year, and we were getting a little nervous. So, you know, we put it out there again, and we're just like, okay, guys, we just don't have the hats in quite yet. And honest to goodness, the deadline was July the 15th. We always know when we put a deadline out there that we're going to run just a little bit. You know, we know we have people who are going to trail in. They're going to come in 2-3 days afterwards. And so we did our final count for this year's Camp Happy Times on the 20th of July, 21st of July. And we did 372 regular hats and 489 star-themed hats, which is a 30% increase over last year. Just couldn't believe it. The fiber community is amazing, just amazing. They came through for us again, and I don't know that any of us at Halos of Hope doubted it. We had our doubts like 3 weeks ago that we're going to be knitting a lot of hats here pretty soon, but 489 star-themed hats, either they had stars on them or they might have been a Star Wars hat or they might have been a Star Trek hat. I mean, just amazing.
Well, it is amazing, and I know that there are groups that do, you know, a fair number, but there's also the ones in the twosies, and
yeah.
I know that you feel very passionately about not letting the onesie and twosie people feel left out of that.
Exactly, and you know, the thing that I think we hear a lot from when we do a very large hat campaign like that, whether it's a Camp Happy Times campaign or something else, is someone will say, you know, well, I can only do one. I can't do dozens. I don't have the time. And we always try to go back to that individual and say, that's okay. Because while we have, even on a day-to-day basis, many, many groups who are donating dozens of hats, we always have volunteers that have the ability to donate just one. And the thing about what Halos of Hope does is we never know when it is the one that's going to make the difference. And so, Benjamin, I know you know this story, but let's share with your followers, if I may,
please,
a story from the medieval-themed year. Because in that year, we had a couple, I think there were two hats that were donated. and these hats were like a basic, I'll call it a basic brown beanie. So not, you know, nothing real fancy, just a kind of a basic hat. But out of each side of the beanie were long yellow braids made out of yarn. And so it looked like a hat. It looked like a hat that had long braids, like it looked like hair. And we received those hats in 3 years ago, and we looked at them and said, well, okay, they weren't necessarily designated for Camp Happy Times. They were just donated, and we thought, well, what do we do with these? They're not really medieval themed. They're not really normal, you know, regular hats that we receive, but they're awfully cute. And we said, let's go ahead and put those two hats into the Camp Happy Times bucket because, you know, maybe someone will pick them up and think that they kind of look like, you know, maybe a Viking or, you know, something like a Rapunzel, you know. So we kind of said, yeah, we'll put them in there and hopefully that they will bring a smile to one of the kids that's attending the camp that year. And what we found out after Camp Happy Times was over 3 years ago was that there was a young lady who wasn't entirely sure she was going to make it to camp. She'd been to camp several years in a row, but she was going through her treatments and her doctors had not cleared her to go to camp until almost the very last minute. So she did get to go to camp that medieval year. And she happened to pick up this hat, which was the brown beanie with the braids. And the camp directors told us that she never took it off. Once it was on her head, she never took it off. She wore it everywhere. She wore it to bed. They'd see her at breakfast in the morning, and it would be on her head. She fell in love with that one hat. And remember a moment ago I said, we only got two, and we almost didn't send them. And what we found out after the fact, several weeks after the camp was over, that young lady lost her battle with cancer about 3 weeks after Camp Happy Times was over. And she said a couple of things. She said that she was ever so grateful she'd had a chance to go to camp and spend time with her friends and see all the counselors and everything one more time. But that even more than that, she was ever so grateful that she had hair one more time before she passed away. One hat. You never know which one. One hat makes all the difference.
Every time you tell me that story, I end up tearing up. You're a bad, bad woman, Pam. I know.
It's 3 years old for me as well, and it takes a lot to tell that story because, you know, God bless the person who sent us those hats. You know, God bless the person that, you know, told us to put them in the box because one hat makes all the difference, and we never know which one it's going to be. So for your listeners out there, you know, if you think that one hat doesn't matter, it does. It does.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And we've seen some beautiful hats. I mean, we've seen so much creativity. Not just the love, but unbelievable creativity in these things. And then simple elegance too. I mean, they don't always have to be, you know, fancy with, you know, lots of, but just amazing stuff. Just amazing stuff.
Yeah, the creativity, especially when we kind of throw some great ideas out there. You know, we've done some things where when there was the tornadoes in Oklahoma, we knew that all the American Cancer Societies in that state and some of the local hospitals in that state were going to have to transfer their cancer patients to a variety of different areas to be treated. You know, we just did some outreach and said, guys, you know, we just need some basic cotton hats because it's warm down there. And those folks are not going to have access to the same resources that they had before the tornado blew through. And, you know, we asked for about 100 hats to go down to some of the cancer centers there in Oklahoma. And we got some just adorable cotton hats that, you know, people just added some little embellishments to, or, you know, just used a whole variety of color in very unique ways, so that these hats, you could tell, were going to go into that community and were going to bring, you know, some smiles and some comfort to people who were just not only devastated by a cancer diagnosis, but had had their worlds turned upside down.
Well, that is definitely one of the things that we've done in the last year. And this is a good segue. Since you started, things are growing, and they're growing very fast. I mean, the number of people that Halos of Hope reaches every year just continues to, I mean, it would be great if you were a business and had this. I mean, it's a terrible thing that we have to reach this many people, but, you know, let's talk about the last year and let's talk about the focus of Halos of Hope and what kind of we're now trying to hyper-focus on.
Yeah, so obviously from as we've grown, the way that we've grown has been, you know, just sheer organic growth. I mean, people find out what we do. A cancer center finds out what we do, and they reach out to us and they say, we need your help. And we say, okay, you know, we're going to help you. Some of our cancer centers have said, you know, we really need 30 hats a month. We need 40 hats a month. And we see those numbers increase because the year before maybe they only wanted 20 hats a month. We know there's a number. We work with a number of other nonprofit type organizations that build satchels for men or for women, that they personally take a satchel to someone in their community who has been diagnosed with cancer, and that satchel will include things like, you know, hard candy, which helps if you suck on hard candy while you're going through chemotherapy. It helps with dry mouth. They may take them, you know, lotions which are hypoallergenic, so that they can they're not having to deal with allergies to soaps or to lotions. And in that satchel is also a hat that's made by a Halos of Hope volunteer. But over the course of the past year, we've started to narrow in on. Yes, if a cancer center, an oncology office, or a hospital comes to us and they say, we need your help, of course we're going to help them. But what we're starting to find is that there are a lot of cancer centers who may not know how to do the outreach or may not have the ability to do the outreach. And so we have a wonderful woman. Her name is Christine Usman. Oh, gosh, Christine, I hope I pronounced your last name correctly. Who has been helping us with kind of a targeted focus. And that targeted focus is to try to find the cancer centers that are in states where we know cancer incidence rates are increasing, combined with the fact that the individuals in these states are underinsured or uninsured. Because we know that, first of all, that cancer center is probably going to be treating a lot of folks, you know, a lot more folks than maybe another cancer center. But probably more than that, they're sitting in a community where maybe people don't knit and crochet or sew, and so they don't have local support with, you know, somebody trotting in, you know, with 20 hats here and 20 hats there to help them out. But they're also treating patients that are having to worry enough about just getting through the treatment, that they also probably don't have the money to potentially pay for their cancer treatments, which probably means they also don't have the money to have a wig or to have a hat There are, you know, the American Cancer Society and some of the other nonprofits do a really good job of outreach to try to give people those types of resources. But sometimes those resources are located 50 or 60 miles from where the person is being treated. And so it's not really easy to drive that 50 or 60 miles to get access to those things. And so we've spent a lot of time looking and targeting and focusing on where can we do outreach? Where can the charity do outreach into the communities that need us the most?
Yeah, I think this is a good place for Halos of Hope to go. It's, you know, the concept, and you and I have talked about it before, of making sure that everybody, just in America, can get a hat. It's daunting. It is
yes.
Just, and folks, you should know, Pam and I have talked many times that we would love to be put out of this particular job. It would be a beautiful thing if cancer just went away and nobody had to go through this awful thing. But let's talk. I'm going to make several points here about the last year. Halos of Hope has been very successful in motivating the world to knit and crochet hats and donate, and that's really wonderful. One of the biggest problems that Halos of Hope has, and has always had, is money. And here's the reason why. Pam and the organization that ships these hats out has got this down to the point where for $10, you can send 31 hats out. And I think that's amazing, you know, 31 hats for $10. And so this last year especially, we've done a lot of work to try to deal with fundraising. You know, $10 sends 31 hats out. You know, imagine what $100 or $1,000. Well, you guys can do the math. So let's talk the fundraising efforts that we've done in this last year, Pam.
Okay, so, you know, we do a lot of different things, and so obviously, you know, they all start to run together, but probably the big one, okay, if we go back, was the Buzz, right? Which you and Drew Imborski, who's the crochet dude, and Mark Maraca from Collage Yarns, all put your heads on the line to raise money for Halos of Hope. And we started that about this time last year, I think it was, with the culmination of an event that we did at Stitches East in October. And the individuals were able to donate $10 to save or shave each one of you. And so, you know, you could go onto a website and you could say, I want $10 to shave Benjamin Levesay. And yes, I'm going to pick on you because that seemed like where it went. Like,
really did go there.
Everybody was out to shave Benjamin's head.
I just want to make a point about this because, yes, there was, you know, it was $10 to save or shave. And Drew Imborski, a.k.a. the crochet dude, was in this mix with us. And he earned more money. But all of his followers said, oh, we love Drew. We're going to put $10 to save him. And every single one of my Facebook friends and followers, I don't know whether it says something about me or my friends, but I'm thinking Drew's friends are a better group to, like, hang out with. But I don't know. I know.
But not only were they putting $10 on your head, they were putting $30 on your head to save you. I'm so sorry.
You really are.
It's still
funny. That's the thing. I know. She's like, so, but I got smart. I realized that you know, I needed to appeal to the lowest common denominator out there, and so I put up a button to shave us all for $20. That's a $10 savings to shave us all, and that caught fire.
Yes, and so then I think it was about a month before we got to stick, because then whoever was going to lose their hair was going to lose their hair on the market stage, right, on Sunday afternoon, or Sunday, I guess it was Sunday morning, because it was about noon, 11 o'clock noon, and so about a month before, we put a button out there, and we said, okay, instead of $10 for each, it's $20, and we'll shave them all, and so not only did we start to see an uptick in the shave them all category, But it was the knit shop girls, right, who came in and started rallying people who actually showed up at Stitches East with a, if you give us the $20 to shave them all, they had actually a little gift, which was, it looked like an ice cream cone sundae with a, you know, a pattern and yarn in it and some knitting needles. And so you were able to donate for shave them all. Right there on the Stitches floor, and they kept track of how many additional dollars were raised, and we kept track of how many tallies that occurred. And so I think it was on Saturday night at the student banquet, you were still in the lead for being the sole person to go in and have your head shaved. And so we sort of let Drew and Mark know Saturday night, hey, you guys might be off the hook. And then by opening of the market on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, you and I were powwowing going, we're going to shave them all. And throughout that whole campaign, between what we raised in terms of the voting button and then some amazing halo sponsors. I mean, we had, oh gosh, you know, Cascade and Fiesta and Barocco and Craftsy and Universal and the Crochet Dude and Interlacements and Wool to Die For. And I know I'm going to forget somebody. I mean, all of these great sponsors came in and, also helped us raise money. We raised $20,000 to benefit Halos of Hope through that event, which was 64,836 hats, I think, is what we determined that would translate into with that one event alone.
Yep.
But I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please.
No, I think beyond that then, you know, again, we did all of that work, and it led up to, you know, raising an incredible amount of money. Again, you mentioned earlier that money goes for, for shipping and handling expenses. Not a dime of that money is going to a board member or a staff member to run this organization. We've still got that gap, which is how we start to self-fund ourselves and we put money into the charity so that someone can run it. As a job, but that's a whole different environment, which we're hoping to address through things like grants and other corporate sponsorships and donations. But the awareness factor that we got out of that event has again exponentially taken us to another level, which is, you know, now we have other local yarn shops that are now getting on board to become donation locations where people can drop the hats at the yarn shop, and we work with the yarn shop to get them shipped. We've had groups throughout the country that are going, you know what, I'm going to be at Stitches South next year, and we want to do a campaign to help you with hats before Stitches South or East or West. I mean, pick one. We've got them all. And, you know, we now have a lot of very visible presence in the fiber industry through the efforts of the Buzz and just in general other things that we've been doing in association like with XRX and our Hope sponsors. And it's just amazing because I can go, I kind of laugh. I mean, you and Drew and Mark and some of the others who know me well know that, you know, it's still kind of a shock to me when, you know, I walk up to somebody and they kind of go, oh, you're the Halos of Hope lady. I mean, I was just sharing with some of our friends here not long ago because we're in the process of, we're going to have our house on the market here before too long, and one of the prospective buyers came by and saw boxes sitting on our front porch. And kind of said, and saw the little logo, because we have a little sticker we put on the boxes that are being shipped out, and saw the logo, and she goes, what are the boxes? And I said, those are all hats that are going to cancer centers across the country, you know, from Halos of Hope. And she goes, oh, you're the Halos of Hope lady? My cousin got a hat from your organization. She absolutely loved it. Just that kind of awareness from, you know, from the amount of growth that we've had over the past, you know, 5 years is just, it's so heartening. It's so comforting to know that we're making that kind of a difference.
Well, and I think that if we talk about awareness, we have to talk about especially one person in particular that really, from a social media standpoint, has helped us blow it out as far as awareness. And that, of course, is Drew.
Drew, yeah. He's so sweet. I just love Drew. So I will say last year when we, and of course, as you mentioned, Drew, during the buzz, everybody was voting for Drew to save him. I mean, until we got to shave them all, I think Drew's locks were safe. Now, we do have to caveat that, because we shouldn't have any of your listeners of the opinion that Drew was unwilling to shave his head. He was 100% willing to shave his head. It's just none of his followers wanted him bald. And yet, I think to put it in the words of Jeannie Randolph from Fiesta, you know, he looked hot when he was bald. But Drew, what happened was when Drew, I got a call one day from Sky Opila, who helps us. He's on our board and he helps us with marketing and public relations. And Sky knows a lot about the cancer community, but not a lot about the fiber community. And as he was watching our buzz numbers, you know, and our website hits and the Twitter feeds and the Facebook, all the social media that we were doing around the buzz, he called me one day and he said, "Pam, who's Drew Emborski?" And I kind of chuckled and I explained who Drew was. And he said, "Every time this guy says anything about the buzz, our website, our halosofhope.org website, goes up 30%. He goes, "Who is this guy? Is he like the rock star of the fiber community?" To which I promptly replied, "Yes." And so, of course he is. And I will be honest with you. I mean, it was just amazing because we watched it happen time and again. And so at Stitches East, we got up on the stage at the student banquet and we awarded Drew because of the amazing dedication he has to helping us spread the word about Halos of Hope. And he continues to do so. We gave him our Man of the Year award, and he got a little crystal plaque or a statue that's, you know, got our logo on it. Says our Man of the Year, and it was you know, so incredible to have someone who is well known in this industry, who has the following that Drew has, help, you know, embrace the Halos of Hope cause and help us so much, and he continues to help us so much. We get a retweet on some, he retweets something that we have on Twitter, and yep, there it goes again. We see the spike of 30%. It's just amazing. Just so grateful that he's a friend of the charity and a friend of mine. I feel so blessed to have him in my life.
He is pretty amazing, and I feel the same way. And Drew, I know you're traveling and you're not listening to this live. We'll see you later this week at the Stitches Midwest. So, Pam, let's talk about some of the other stuff that's happened and some of the other stuff we do. There was kind of a not so nice incident, but there's a cool thing that happened out of it. One of the ways that Halos of Hope makes money is to sell hat patterns off of the website, and we had something unfortunate happen that, you know, I lost my mind about. But then we had kind of a real gentleman step in and do something great about it. Will you tell that story?
Yeah. So, hey, as you mentioned, Halos of Hope has hat patterns that have been designed for us, and we continue to work with designers and people who are in the industry to, you know, develop hat patterns that we think are appropriate for those going through chemotherapy and yet embrace the whole idea that just because you've lost your hair does not mean you've lost your sense of style. And so a hat, chemo cap should be, or cancer cap should be about who you are as an individual. When I was going through chemotherapy, I didn't look, I mean, the hats I wore would have been the hats I would have worn with hair. So we think it's real important to make sure that we combine the functionality with the fashion. We don't charge a lot for the hat patterns that we have out there. They, you know, but yet every hat pattern that we do say that we sell, but it's actually a donation to the charity, you know, sends, depending upon the price of the pattern, is, again, if we put it in hat terms, each hat pattern that we sell sends about 10 or 15 hats to a cancer center in need. And we look at it as a very small way of sustaining income coming in. You know, it could be $100 a month. Well, $100 is 310 hats. That's a lot for us. And we had an unfortunate incident where, or we've had unfortunate incidences where people, individuals, and unfortunately some local yarn shops had decided that they were going to do a knit-along or a crochet-along for Halos of Hope, and they took a pattern that was in our store of patterns, and they duplicated it. we believe, in all fairness, that it was under the auspices of, well, you know, I've got 20 people who are going to make hats, and those hats are going to be donated to you, so therefore I don't have to buy 20 patterns. And I'm, excuse me, I'm sorry. And that's just wrong, because instead it's two totally different aspects of the way that we work as a charity. I mean, yes, you may have 20 people in a knit-along who are going to donate 20 hats, but the 20 people, if they had purchased those hats, would have self-funded all of those hats and then some being sent to that cancer center. It's two totally different things. And unfortunately, one of the incidences was involved the signature pattern that you've seen it. People who come to our booths at Stitches see it, which is our Shark Hat pattern. And our Shark Hat pattern is a signature premier pattern. We were very, very fortunate in that we worked with people who are in the shark community to have both a knit pattern and a crochet pattern designed for us that very, very, very much resemble what a great white shark would look like. And we, through campaigns that we've done, in campaigns that we did 2 years ago and or 2 years ago and then 3 years ago, I mean, we've raised a lot of money in the shark community. And so for someone to come to us and say that they wanted, that they had replicated our premier pattern was, as you well know, because I think you and I had a conversation and you had to talk me off the ledge, was very devastating. And so for a moment, folks, just if patterns are copywritten material, and, you know, either that money is going to come to a charity like ours or even to the designer, and that's how they make their money. Just don't copy a pattern. It's just not fair. And it's especially not fair to us because we're using that money for shipping and handling. But Ron Miskin from Buffalo Wool was so kind. He came in to the picture and saw what was going on and wanted to help us in the way that, you know, that he could. And he offered to his followers the opportunity to receive one of our hat patterns, and yes, Buffalo Wool paid for every pattern that they took from us, that they downloaded from us, every single one. And they gave the pattern and a skein of their yarn to followers who responded to their campaign with the ask that the individual have the hat completed and sent back to Buffalo Wool so that they could bring the hats up to Stitches Midwest to donate to us on the show floor this coming weekend. And I believe the last count that we got from Ron was that 35 people did that. They took the pattern, they took the hat, they took the yarn, and hats are on their way with Ron and Teresa to the show this coming weekend, which just was a way, it was his, as I understand from talking with him, was his way of saying, hey, you know what, this is really important. We're willing to help. We appreciate that help so much. We consider Ron and Teresa and Buffalo Wool one of our Halo sponsors. And, you know, it was his response to, let's make this right, which is just so touching. Thank you, Ron.
They are like, yeah, thank you, Ron. They are like that. But I was just... He saw what I posted. He saw that there was lost revenue. His immediate response was, I need to help make up that revenue, and I'm also going to donate some of my yarn out of you know, so this is now more money he's putting into this to make sure that we also get some hats and money out of this thing. I was so impressed with it.
Oh yeah. Just amazing. And you know me. You know that stuff like this, you know, that kind of stuff just, I mean, I get verklempt. I get all choked up for stuff like that. And I know it's little stuff, but it's huge stuff to us.
It's huge stuff.
Kind of support
it's
is huge. Huge.
Let's talk about some other support from the industry. Let's talk about the stuff that you're doing with Interlacements. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah, we're excited about this one because it's something we've not done this before, so it's a little bit different. At Stitches South, well, actually, let me back up, because actually at Stitches West this year, I was very fortunate to have a woman come and help us at the Stitches West booth. Her name is Allison Sarnoff. A lot of people know her as the Knit Princess, and she designs and she does this wonderful little cartoon. But she was sitting in the booth with me, and we were talking about hat designs, and she had seen this hat that had been donated that was done with a scarf, kind of like what you might call a silk scarf or a rayon scarf, kind of weaved through it. And the pattern itself was crocheted, and she said, "Have you ever seen a pattern like that knitted?" And I said, "No, I don't think so." And as we're sitting there Sunday afternoon in the booth, she starts kind of sketching up an idea for this hat. And she says, "You know what? I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to send you the pattern. I will gift you the pattern designed by Allison Sarnoff, the Knit Princess. And then you guys can use it for your fundraising as you do your other patterns." I was like, "Great, that sounds wonderful." She had that pattern done in time for us to show it at Stitches South. And Tracy from Interlacements walks into the booth, and she says, "That's really adorable, the hat itself with the scarf done through it." And it really is. It's absolutely beautiful. And she goes, "You know what we could do? We could actually do a kit for you, and we'll dye the Sweet Feet, the Interlacements Sweet Feet yarn, and we'll dye a scarf to match, and we'll create a kit with Allison's pattern, and you guys can use those for fundraising at Stitches Midwest." And she did. So coming up at Stitches Midwest, we're going to have a skein of the Sweet Feet yarn, a hand-dyed scarf, rayon silk scarf to match, that can be used then to weave through the hat, and Allison's pattern. And we're going to do some kit fundraising thanks to Tracy and Interlacements. We're going to see how it goes and see if it's something we want to do again in the future. But anyone who's coming to Stitches, we're in booth 418, by the way. I better put that plug in there, right? To come by and see. First of all, come by and see the hat, because it's absolutely beautiful. It's very feminine. One moment. Belinda Creech, who's a good friend of yours and mine, I do want to give her a shout out, because she did do up the sample hat for us that will be on display in the booth. Belinda from Elephants Remember Joplin, that we did the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta campaign with, has done our sample hat. And it's absolutely beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful hats I think I've ever seen. And done in the Sweet Feet yarn with the hand-dyed scarf to match. It's stunning. Stunning. We're so excited about this one.
Yeah, very excited about this, you know, because I don't remember seeing it at South, so I it doesn't stick in my head, but I was busy. As you know, we had travel issues at South, but we won't get into that right now. But
yeah, and the one thing I should mention as well is 100% of the proceeds of this kit will benefit Halos of Hope. So Tracy and Interlacements have donated everything. God bless them. Thank you, Tracy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tracy. So we spoke a minute about travel. We have to talk about this. We're getting off of the fundraising subject, but we are talking about some advocacy from our industry. And we just had a really cool thing. I was not there, but it was amazing. I did visit virtually. You just had a big event out in California, and it was with our good friends from Pearlescence Yarns. Can you tell us about that? Because it was pretty amazing. I'm sure it was awe-inspiring to be there.
Oh, my gosh. So, again, Stitches West this year. Nathania Apple from Pearlescence Yarn came over and introduced herself, and as well as Sandy Luck and Kay Luck and their whole crew, all came by to introduce themselves at Stitches West. They had learned about us, obviously, through their relationship with XRX, the ongoing Stitches relationship, because they do participate each year, I believe, at Stitches West. And they had learned a lot more about us because of the buzz. And they really came over to introduce themselves and said, we really want to help. So momentarily, let's talk about Pearlescence as a yarn shop, because they have a very strong sense of community in their yarn shop. It's one of those that having talked to them about the way that they help their patrons, the work that they do, and now having been there, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but just a really vibrant community of people who knit and crochet and weave and spin, I better put that in there, it's just a wonderful environment to be in, a very, very welcoming environment. And so after Stitches West, we want to be on board. Great, wonderful. They immediately became a donation location for us. And probably a month even after they signed up, we got a box from them, I don't know, probably 35, 40 hats in it, like right away, a month afterwards. And then Nathania and her team started coming up with this idea of doing a 24-hour event to benefit Halos of Hope. They were gonna start at noon on Saturday, and they were gonna go till noon on Sunday. And yes, we're talking 24 solid hours. The store would be open overnight, and they were gonna allow people to come in and knit and crochet hats for Halos of Hope. As the event evolved, we decided that the hats would go to the Camp Happy Times campaign. And the whole time I personally am watching this involved, I keep going, I have to somehow be there. And you know as well as I do, flying from Chicago to sunny, San Jose, it's not an easy flight, especially if you're trying to do it on a weekend. But I worked it out to where, I could be in Arizona just before that. And then so I was able to go up to Sunnyvale to be at the event. She did some outreach because of what she was doing. We had yarn sponsorship and raffle prize donations from Cascade, Collage, and Fiesta. They start this thing at noon on Saturday, and every time another hat was donated to Halos of Hope, a bell was rung to announce that we'd had another hat donated. They had food brought in to the event. They had Ray, their massage therapist, came in the evening, and there were chair massages for the people who had been sitting all day long knitting and crocheting. At its height, I think we had 52 people in the store, and there were 19 people who stayed up all night long and actually knitted and crocheted hats. And I left the event, I'm getting old, Benjamin, I can't stay up all night long anymore. Just, it's not going to work for me. But when I left at 10:30, between the time I left at 10:30 and the time, and 5:30 in the morning, when my Twitter feed went off like crazy again, they had made 24 hats overnight. And all told, 215 hats were made in that 24-hour period to benefit Halos of Hope and Camp Happy Times. We also had, at the event, I know Jeannie from Fiesta was hoping to be there, but she had a warehouse move that got bumped up, and so she didn't make it. And I know that was hard for her, because I know she wanted to be there so badly. We had Shannon from Cascade Yarns was there. And again, they're both Saturday and Sunday. And then we had Gigi and Jasmine from the Knit More Girls podcast, show up. And they actually came with little goodie bags of things that their sponsors had had donated. And it was just all in all an amazing just outpouring of support, all in one place, all within a compressed period of time. But probably the best thing of all, and this was a total shock to me, you may have known. I have a feeling you knew before the fact. Nobody told me. But the most amazing thing to me was they actually had a guy who owns Awesome Shot Studios. And I believe his name is Oren. I hope I have that right. This gentleman came in, and he had done some pre-work for Pearlescence that were interviews, videotaped interviews with the team at Pearlescence before they actually started the event, as to why they were doing it, why they felt it was important, why Pearlescence was going to be involved. And then they actually videotaped the entire event and edited it and created, there's a 4-minute version and a 7-minute version of what we did in that 24-hour period. And it's an amazing, amazing piece of video because it talks about not only what the event was and how it was run and what we did and interviews with the people that were there and why they were there. There were some additional cancer stories that were told about how cancer had touched individuals who were knitting and crocheting there. There was this wonderful woman named Jeanette that was a cancer survivor, and she was there knitting hats as well. She was maybe about a year out of treatment, if I recall correctly. But the video also intersperses, how cancer affects us all. And I'm sure we're going to put a link up in your show notes to that video. We're trying to get that video logged on, loaded up to our website at halosofhope.org. But I was ever so glad that I was there in person because it was phenomenal, just phenomenal.
Yes, it was. I dropped in via FaceTime twice, and I managed to catch you once drinking a glass of wine. I think I caught you for last drink. I busted. No, but it was an amazing amount of energy. It was an amazing amount of energy, and I've seen both of the videos. I got a text from Nathaniel this morning saying that the new longer version of the video is up, and so folks, yes, I will be posting a link to that video on the Fiber Hooligans Facebook page, my Facebook page, probably in our Ravelry group, so you all can see that, and I'm sure Pam will be sharing it. But it's incredible. Oren did a great job, and the ladies from Pearlescence were so eloquent and touching to listen to in their interviews.
Well, and it was interesting because at the very end, so Nathania and her team basically said, is there anything you want to share, having been here? And the only thing that came to mind for me, having spent the time there, was a quote from probably my favorite song from the musical Wicked, and it's from the song that's called For Good. And I told them as we were wrapping up the event that I said I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most to grow if we let them, and we help them in return. And then I said, well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew all of you and know all of you. That's an amazing community out there. She should be applauded for the work that she's doing, not only for Halos of Hope, but they generally embrace this spirit of service. And as a local yarn shop in the Bay Area, they should be applauded for that because it was phenomenal.
They're like that. I truly think they're a model. They are a model.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the new thing. We moved just past 12, and you and I had something that happened today at 12. I know because I just got the email about it, and so we're actually behind announcing what our e-newsletters have just announced.
Uh-oh.
So, yes, I know. So on an ongoing basis, Halos of Hope is always trying to raise money. And we're always trying to scheme and think, okay, how can we raise money? And we've been very fortunate to have big sponsors donate. But we're always looking for sort of grassroots fun things that we can do with the community at large that's low impact for them but high yield for us, and it's fun. And so this morning, well, not this morning, but right at noon, we launched something. And Pam, I'm going to let you tell our folks what we did.
Yeah, I looked at the clock just a minute ago and went, ah, we're behind.
We're behind.
Oh, my gosh. So thanks, you know, again, to the amazing support that we get from the XRX family and the Stitches family and from our good friends at Fiesta Yarns. We just announced collectively just a really great opportunity for all of the Fiber Hooligan followers, all of the XRX followers, all the Stitches followers. And, you know, I'm a little jealous because I can't win this one. So I just want everybody to know, especially you, I can't win this one. And you're going to go, yeah, you get to go to all the Stitches anyway. But I don't get to take the classes. Well, this year I do, but anyway. This is going to be a fun thing. We have launched a raffle, and it's a $5 entry to the raffle. $5 is 15 hats, so that's what the donation is for. But the people who donate the $5 get an opportunity to win the Stitches Works package, the big kahuna, the kit and caboodle, just the amazing, amazing gift. It's just an amazing gift for you to give us. And so, Benjamin, I'm going to actually defer to you because you're going to have to tell us all within the Stitches Works package. My notes just died on me here.
Okay, no problem. So the Stitches Works package is this. And this raffle is for Stitches Works package. It'll be drawn randomly from one of the people that donate to the raffle. And if you donate more than once, in other words, you buy more than one ticket, you get more than one opportunity. We have a system so that, you know, the more tickets you buy, you increase your likelihood of winning. And folks, somebody will win. Every time we do one of these things, it's really, oh, I never win anything. Every single time we've picked a winner, the person has said, I've never won anything. So don't be the person that says, oh, I'm not going to enter, I'm not going to win anything. But the Stitches Works package is this. It is the opening day presentation. It is the opening day lunch. It is full access to the market throughout the weekend, including the student preview. It is the fashion show dinner, and reserved seating at both. It is the student banquet and reserved seating there as well, and the student fashion show. And it is 21 hours of classes. And that the winner can redeem this at Stitches East this year in November or any Stitches in 2014. It is a very big package. And again, somebody will win. But there's a caveat. Everybody walks out of this with something, and I'll let you know about that.
Yeah, so thank you for that. I apologize. My little note system, as you know, both of us use an online note system. All of a sudden it went blank. Technology. So then our good friends at Fiesta Yarns actually sweetened the pot, and they said, you know what, for each person who donates their $5, they will get a free download of the Fiesta Yarns Swirl Beret, which is featured in Fiesta Yarns Baby Boom. It is a delightful pattern. And the wonderful thing about Baby Boom is it's a sock yarn. And people kind of always say, well, can you use sock yarn for a chemotherapy patient? There are some people who will develop wool sensitivity or are wool sensitive, so we just have to be conscientious of that. But what is the most comfortable thing you can put on your feet? Socks, hand-knit socks, no less. So imagine the softness and the comfort that a hand-knit hat made out of like a wonderful sock yarn like Baby Boom would be on your head. And it's just fashionable. It's cute. It's easy to knit. It is it's a cavalcade of color if done in a sock yarn. And I've always admired the pattern. And so when the person goes to the website at, I believe it's knittinguniverse.com/raffle. /raffle. I'm sorry, /raffle. Once they actually make their donation, they'll get a link to download this pattern from our good friends at Fiesta Yarns. So $5 donates 15, gives us the opportunity to donate 15 hats to a cancer center in need. The individual gets a free download for a pattern and an opportunity to win the works. I'm so jealous.
I mean, why would you not do that? It's, first of all, it's a pretty hat. I know you picked it because it's one of your favorites.
It's one of my favorites.
As you know, the good folks at Fiesta Yarns actually sell this pattern, and they were they were very sweet to allow us, you know, a limited use of this while we run this. This raffle is going to go on until the 23rd of September.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we're going to pick a winner and get a hold of them, and then I'll get the same thing that I always get, is I never win anything. So again, you know, people say that, but you know, do it. So $5 donation. It's tax deductible. You can use that receipt for a tax deduction, and it's good karma. You get a free hat pattern, and who knows? On the 23rd or 24th, you might be getting a call from me saying, guess what? So that announcement just went out today. You can find links to that on, we'll be posting it on our various social media outlets as well. And we're looking forward to it, and we hope it's kind of fun. And I believe we're going to throw that hat pattern in, or the hat itself, into the fashion show this next week.
Yes, we'll actually have one of your kind folks at XRX, Mavis Smith. Let's give her a little shout out and a little love here. Has kindly knit up a sample of the hat for us. It'll be in our booth at Stitches Midwest, and it's going to be in the fashion show at Stitches Midwest as well. And obviously, anyone coming to Stitches Midwest, you know, we can give them more information about the raffle. You do need to be able to get to a computer to sign up, because if we don't have a way to get you into the pot unless you sign up through the website. But certainly, we can point you in the right direction to the URL if you need it, if you're coming to see us this weekend. We're very excited about this. And again, Benjamin, cannot thank you and the XRX folks enough for this one, and to Jeannie and the Fiesta Yarn folks as well. This, you know, it's a wonderful prize for someone to win. I know my mother even said she wants to resign from the board so that she has a chance at it, since board members can't play. That's how many people have already said, wait a minute, what do you mean I can't play in this particular raffle? There are a lot of folks that want this one, so thank you. So just remember, the more you can enter, the more you enter, the more you donate, the more chances you have to win.
Yes, absolutely.
And for a good cause.
It's for a good cause, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be nice and light and easy. And you know, for those of you who do the raffle, we ask you to share it with your friends. Heck, we ask you to challenge your friends to match up. And we'll be doing some more fun things about that as we go along. So that's kind of our big news today. Do you want to talk about your show schedule coming up, where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing in the next little bit, Pam?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're getting ready for Stitches Midwest. For those of you who have not been to our Stitches Midwest show, because it's our home show, it's probably the most rowdy, because we've been doing it the longest, and our followers just embrace this spirit of support. And so you'll hear, if you walk through the show floor, you'll hear them yelling, you know, and cheering when they get more hats donated on site. We are in booth 418, which is just across from our good friends at Fiesta, and of course our man of the year, Drew Imborski. We're actually bringing a couple of new hat patterns with us. There's a Bucket of Blooms pattern, which is a crochet pattern, and a Celestial Navigation pattern, which is also a crochet pattern and was kindly donated to us by the lovely Kristen Omdahl, and it is just a beautiful pattern. So, you know, if you're going to be in the area, stop by and see us. We'll be on the show floor Thursday night preview, but Friday and Saturday 10 to 6 and Sunday 10 to 4, although I won't be there as much on Saturday because, I get to take a class, remember? So excited. Did I say that before?
I think you did say that before. Yes, you're
slightly excited. Yeah, I think so. I'm sorry. I am really excited. And then fashion show, we're going to have the swirl beret in the fashion show. And, of course, you know, I always am at the fashion show and the fashion show dinner and at the student banquet. And actually, my dear husband is coming to the student banquet this year. So he's kind of excited about that because he gets to meet all the people I hang out with throughout the year for the very first time. It'll be his first student banquet and his first Stitches.
So listen to that, Fiber Hooligans that are going to Stitches Midwest. He's new, so be gentle with them. Be gentle with them. Well, for those of you who have gone to Stitches for the first time, it can be overwhelming. Just be gentle with them, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a guy running around. I know that's kind of novel, but just be gentle.
And he's okay. A real tall guy, so.
So before we wrap this up, Pam, I'd like to ask you if you have a final message you'd like to share with our listeners.
You know, the key thing, I think, we've touched on it throughout. What we do, I never started Halos of Hope thinking that there was glory here. You've mentioned Benjamin, and I know people who follow our story. This isn't the only thing I do. I do have another job. I do work a lot of hours at my other job. This was intended to always be a community of selfless service. We give back to those who need us. And we talk a lot when we do these kinds of shows. We talk, and when we get to, you know, events where we go, yay, we want to raise we want to get 500 hats, or we need to raise $10,000. We talk a lot about big numbers. Everyone out there, the big numbers are important, yes, but it's also the little numbers that make a difference. If all you could ever donate is $5, that's 15 hats. That's a lot. If all you can ever donate is one hat, I can't tell you that that's not the one hat that when given to a woman, a man, a teenager, or a child going through chemotherapy, that they don't look at their oncology professional with tears in their eyes and say, "You mean someone who knows nothing about me, a total stranger, made this hat to comfort me." And the oncology nurse or professional says, "Yes, that's right. And there's no charge for it. You take it because we know that you need to have that embrace, that hug, that moment to believe that you will survive." That's what we do. That's what we're about. So never, ever, ever think that your one item, that your ability to help us, whether it's once or dozens of times or hundreds of times, but that one time means the world to someone who is going through a cancer treatment, the family member of somebody going through cancer treatment, and each one of those steps helps us to continue to grow. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your support.
And I want to thank you, Pam, for the work you do. I want to thank you for the opportunity to work with you at Halos of Hope. And I want to thank you for joining us this morning. I am so looking forward to seeing you and your dear husband later this week at Stitches Midwest.
I'm looking forward to seeing you as well. It's not too far away. We only have a few days.
I leave tomorrow. I still have to pack.
You better go do that.
I better go do that. Okay, Thank you very much, Pam.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Bye, hooligans.
That was Pamela Haschke from Halos of Hope. You can find out more about Pam and Halos of Hope at halosofhope.org. And you can donate and purchase a raffle ticket now at knittinguniverse.com/raffle. And appreciate your help with that. Next week, there won't be a show. I'm sure sorry about that, Farmer Hooligans, but I'll be driving back from Stitches Midwest 2013 with my family, and so just can't get it done. Don't have time next week to do research for a show, and don't have time on Monday to do the show. On the following Monday, August 19th, my guest will be the very talented author, designer, and teacher, Susan B. Anderson. We'll be talking about her designs, her teaching schedule, and her newest book, Topsy-Turvy, Inside Out Knit Toys. Susan is one of those really talented and sweet people in the industry, and if you follow her blog, susanbanderson.blogspot.com, then you'll know what I mean. I'm really looking forward to this show, and I hope you'll join us. For those of you who may have missed anything in this podcast, I invite you to join us on our Ravelry group, Fiber Hooligans, or in our Fiber Hooligans Facebook group. Our moderator, Tammy Burke, does a great job of making sure we answer any questions and provide follow-up to any questions. And we have some links and video links that we talked about today that I'll make sure get in there. I also want to make sure that you know that I'm eager to hear from you. You can email me questions, recommendations, critiques, and feedback at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com. I don't promise to respond to every email or message, but I do promise to do my best to read them all. If you ask a really great question or have an inspired idea, I may even read your email on the podcast. Well, we come to it. That's our show, Fiber Hooligans. And as we slide on out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with us. I'll see you in 2 weeks on another edition of Fiber Hooligans.